McGillicuddy and Murder's Pawn Shop, Episode 1, Pilot. August 22nd, 1921. I did not find anything at the pawn shop. Alas. August 23rd, 1921. Worked today. It was dull as doldrums. Typed. Did not go to pawn shop. August 24th, 1921. Wanted to go to pawn shop all day today. It was rainy and gray. My hat melted. Typed some more. Did not go to pawn shop. August 25th, 1921. What is the point of keeping a diary when nothing happens? August 26th, 1921. I nearly threw a book at Mr. Levy today, just so I would have something to write about. Did not throw a book. Nothing happened. I must go to the pawn shop tomorrow. August 27th, 1921. I went to the pawn shop today. Feel much better about everything. Since you are a diary and don't know anything about pawn shops, I will have to explain this one to you. Even if you had seen an ordinary pawn shop, you would not understand this one. It is called McGillicuddy and Murder's Pawn Shop, and it's like nothing else you've ever seen. It's not just a small, dark room with things gathering dust. It doesn't have the glass counters and sour-faced owner that you typically expect. McGillicuddy and Murder's Pawn Shop is 3 stories tall, in an old brick building on East 68th Street. The sidewalk outside is bustling, but when you step inside, you feel as though you've been trapped in time, like you've stepped into one of your grandfather's bottled ships. I love the feeling. I feel like something eerie is going to happen to me every time I step inside. When I'm feeling blue, and when I want to throw Mr. Levy, my boss, straight out the window, I go to the pawn shop. I can't afford the strange green globe lamps or bronze statues, and a tiny bit of gray lace won't do the trick. But I'm looking for something in McGillicuddy and Murder's pawn shop. I want to take some of the feeling home with me. I'll know the right object when I see it. I want something weird to carry around with me in my pocket. I want to look at it at work to bring some mystery into my life while I type. And type. And type. August 28th, 1921. The strangest thing happened in McGillicuddy and Murder's today. I was browsing their collection of gloves, pink ones and mulberry-colored ones, and one pair that was emerald green and glistening like lizard skin. And then just like that, a man popped out from behind the hat rack. I do mean popped. He wasn't there 1 minute, and all of a sudden, there he was. To be fair, I was a bit dazzled by a pair of gloves with real peacock feathers all over them, but I can't see how I missed him. Unless he was crouching in the fur coats, he appeared out of nowhere. He looked just as startled to see me as I was to see him. He had curly black hair and these colossal hazel eyes. The green in his eyes was so bright, it almost reached out and smacked you in the face. He wore a dark suit and one of those newsboy caps, you know, and his suit didn't quite fit. It was rather appealing. Besides all that, he was appallingly handsome. I mean, he looked like a British lord. And I almost got down on one knee and proposed to him right then and there. He looked at me as though... well, as though I was a little bit dangerous. The feeling gave me a pleasant shiver all over. He said, "Excuse me." in this quiet, delicious voice. And then he was gone. I am now hunting two things in McGillicuddy and Murders, and I dare say I don't have enough money for either one of them. August 29th, 1921. Where does McGillicuddy and Murders get their merchandise? I don't think women have ever worn peacock feather gloves. August 30th, 1921. I started looking more thoughtfully at the pawn shop today. Some of the things I found completely defied reason. There was a red coat with gold buttons, and it looked like a British uniform from the Revolutionary War. But it was clearly for a woman, with flared hips and a dramatic collar. I tried to read the tag, but there wasn't any tag, just some name written in ink on the lining. And it wasn't even a real name. It said, Minerva Sweeney Wren. No one is named Minerva Sweeney Wren. I've also started to question the wealth of the place. They've got nothing but curiosities and things of grandeur. There's a dark red piano in one corner, and I found a lizard in a jar the other day. It looks like they raided a scientist's shop, and a theater, and a castle in the 1300s. They've got nothing ordinary, like the bicycle or bedsheets a poor family might have traded in for food. August 31st, 1921. Who the dickens has the last name of Murder, anyway? September 1st, 1921. I had a dream last night. A most peculiar dream. The flavor of it has stayed with me all day, the way the taste of a Coca-Cola stays on your tongue. I dreamt about the young man from the pawn shop, the one I keep hoping to see again. I dreamt that I was standing near the fountain downtown, and all of a sudden, he was there too. I was embarrassed, because for some reason in the dream, my nose had turned into a rutabaga. I dashed away from the fountain into a quiet side street and hoped he wouldn't notice me. But of course, because it was a dream, he came right after me. I stood flat against the wall and hoped he'd pass me. But instead of looking at my rutabaga nose, he collapsed onto the pavement. His coat had fallen open, and his shirt was bloody. I stooped and lifted him onto my lap, and it was all terribly romantic. He's got such a handsome face. He did in my dream, anyway. He looked pained, and he labored for breath. Then he reached up and held the back of my head. He lifted himself up a little. He whispered in my ear, in that soft, low voice, "Don't let them win." And then he died. September 2nd, 1921. I'd hoped my dream was a sign that I'd see the young man again in the pawn shop, but no luck so far. I waited around yesterday, and today I plucked up the nerve to ask if they employed any young men. But I got all flustered and turned pink. They said they didn't employ any young men, no. I'll probably never see him again, but since my life seems to be made up of tragedy and boredom, that sounds about right. Pretty soon, McGillicuddy and Murders is going to think I'm shoplifting. Why else would I visit them so much? September 3rd, 1921. I found it today. After all this time of searching and hoping and poking around, I found my little piece of McGillicuddy and Murders. I have to confess, I'm completely terrified of it. It's a small piece of china, and I do mean a piece. It's a broken chip of something, about the size of a silver dollar. You can't see a pattern of anything on it, except for a bright blue human eye. I saw it in the corner by the checkout counter. It was just lying there by the golden bracelets, and I felt like it was looking at me. I mean, actually looking at me, like it had moved just before my eyes fell on it. I asked the old man behind the counter how much it was. He came around and looked at it. He picked it up, and a strange smile spread across his face. He seemed to love the old broken eye. And that made me feel a little less nervous about it. He told me it was free, that it had broken off of something. He said I could have it. Free is exactly the sort of price I'm looking for. He dropped it into my hand, and I felt the strangest sense of dread. It was worse than when my Aunt Charlotte told me my parents were dead, or when Henry Hubert proposed, and I knew I was going to have to say no. I stared down at the eye, and I felt like something dangerous and magical was going to happen if I took it home. Needless to say, it's sitting on my bathroom sink. We hope you've enjoyed episode 1, pilot, of McGillicuddy and Murder's Pawn Shop. McGillicuddy and Murder's Pawn Shop is written and performed by Minerva Sweeney Wren, all rights reserved. Please subscribe, share it with your friends, and support Minerva Sweeney Wren on Patreon. McGillicuddy and Murder's Pawn Shop will continue next week with episode 2, The Eyes That Glowed in the Dark.